Amen, 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 amen. Father, thank you. We bless you. Wow. If we were to start thanking God from today till tomorrow, we will not thank God enough. Brethren, if you ever sit back and visualize how much love God has for you will be dancing. Even when there is storm, you are dancing because you know that that storm is just passing through. At the end, victory is yours. Even when beautiful things are happening to you will keep expecting more and more and more and more to come unto you because you are a favorite child of God. When the Lord inspired me about the title, Succeeding as a Team, remember we did the formula, how to get our formulas and how to reuse the formula to receive our blessings. And then he said, succeeding as a team. And I know God has not completed because he had given me two sessions that I've already jotted down regarding his ways. So I said, Lord, where are you taking us to? Brethren, I want you to sit down, relax, and know that God have you in his heart. You are very special. If you want to succeed as a team, study marriage. I took it literally. Took it easy and simple. Okay? This one may be going to be like four or five paragraphs and we are done for today. Oh no, ready to be prepared. If you are married, you will reflect on your marriage again and then find out areas that you need to strengthen that healthy marriage. And if it is broken, God will give you the glue to amend that marriage to make it seal. And if you are preparing to be married, God will issue you wonderful tutorials that you will use to enter that relationship, expand on the marriage, multiply in the marriage, and be a growth continuously for him on earth and in heaven in the name of Jesus, right in that marriage, because it is all doable. So I welcome everyone to today's fellowship. I pray that as you listen to the message for today titled Succeeding as a Team, you will come to understand the power and the importance of fellowshipping together as one body. We are looking at another factor today, telling us if we really want to succeed as a team this year, we need to study how marriage works. Brethren, because marriage is sacred, it is a lifelong covenant and commitment between one man, one woman that is established by God. Marriage is a permanent, exclusive union meant to be unbreakable. It is a bond between a man, a woman, and God. Marriage was instituted by God Himself, bringing a man and a woman together to become one flesh. It involves the role of a husband's sacrificial love for the wife and a wife's respectful submission to the husband. Nothing should be able to break the bond of any Christian fellowship group or church body. Because to succeed as a team, it is based on Christ-centered community that is rooted in mutual love and shared spiritual goals, and also open communication. No, and then it has to be consistent. That team has to be consistent study of the word of God. We have to be also consistent in our prayers and utilizing the individual spiritual gifts to build up one another. So it is in a marriage. You share the same goals together. That is why it is stated in the Bible not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Brethren, let's read this scripture together while you are muted. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 that says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" When you engage with an unbeliever in marriage or any serious relationship, there will be conflict of interest because you do not share the same goals. True fellowship involves genuine care, where members feel safe to confess their sins, pray for one another, and be vulnerable. In our own case, we come together here from various homes, various backgrounds and culture, but still come to fellowship and commune with God. So it is in a marriage. The Bible says a man will leave his family and cleave on to his wife and become one. Let's read Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 together. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh." God recognizes the fact that it is not good for man to be alone. So he decided to make man a helpmate that will live and transfer his primary loyalty and dependence from his parents to his wife, forming his own household and prioritizing his marital relationship. As believers, we come together as one body in Christ and prioritize our fellowship with God. In marriage, there is no competition. Instead, they complete each other by using their unique strength to cover the other's personal weaknesses. Studying marriage allows couples to move from a me mindset to a we mindset. It is a team-based covenant relationship that reflects God's love and purpose for us too. If we want to succeed this year as a team, we must move to be a unified body, reflecting Christ's love to the world. We have to approach God as a team, because our success is reflected in fulfilling the Great Commission and serving our community by extending the love of God to the world. Because it is a multiplying effect. If there are challenges, we rise and find the solutions together as a team. We collaborate together to achieve our goals. I want to appeal to you today, my brothers, my sisters. Please spend at least 5 minutes each day praying for each other. Pray for your fellow brethren. When we cultivate a habit that prays for each other, you are strengthening your faith and building up one another, because the bonds get stronger and stronger as you pray daily. Moreover, just knowing that somewhere, someone, one of your brethren is praying for you every day and regularly is a great honor and a blessing. Thank God that we have a safe space where we are able to speak openly and listen with empathy and understanding one and understanding one another. Thank God that we have a fellowship WhatsApp platform where we can post our prayer requests or share our thoughts and express our feelings in words, in music, in worship, or any other. Teamwork in marriage is one of the elements that can make your relationship successful. When you fellowship as a team, it helps to create unity, togetherness, and a bond that is very, very special. It encourages us to share our resources and support one another. Let's read Psalm 133 verse 1. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It is so good and beautiful for us to fellowship together as spiritual family, united by God's grace, caring for each other and supporting one another. Brethren, the greatest marriages are built on teamwork between the husband and the wife, and also built on lasting commitment with one another, with mutual respect, of course, and a never-ending love and grace. Fellowshipping in His presence family, let us come together and build one of the strongest fellowship team ever. Let us commit to a refreshing experience of a lifetime, building and succeeding together. Don't silence the fellowship platform. Keep your voice heard. Keep your presence noticeably active and stronger than ever. Let's support each other as we grow together. Bring your own suggestions and ideas that will help us to grow this year. Don't keep them within you. They will not multiply or grow. Therefore, there will be no reward. Release your gifts. Release your talents that will help us to break through territories for soul winning this year. Let's lift up Jesus up that like we have never done before. Brethren, I would like us to look quickly at the way believers of old, they fellowship together. Let us look and reflect on how believers fellowship together, the early Christians. Acts chapter 2, we'll read together, verse 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Let's go. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This was the vibrant lifestyle of the early church. As they fellowshiped together, they were breaking bread and praying together. With joyful praise and daily growth, the Lord added believers to their membership daily. They became spirit-filled community that resulted in miracles and radical generosity, providing for one another. God intends for us to live as a community of believers who love and cares for each other. As we commit to each other, we must first remember to submit to Jesus Christ, who is our head and leader. Just as Christ leads and nurtures the church, so it is with a husband and a wife. Let us read together the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. We shall be reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, from verse 23 to 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I believe this is a call for wives to submit to their husbands, just as Christ submits, just as the church submits to Christ. And the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. I believe this is a Christ-like sacrificial leadership for husbands. This is a Christ-like sacrificial leadership for husbands. And a respectful, trusting submission for wives. I also believe that their behavior as husband and wife should reflect the deep unity and mutual care between Christ and the church. Don't introduce any selfish worldly standards into your marriage or fellowship groups. It is unacceptable. It will only bring confusion and chaos, because our standards are based on the values in the Word of God. Create a bridge over conflict and forgive each other 70 times, 7 times, so says Jesus. You can forgive even when it is hard, because God has forgiven you. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of all the rage. Control your anger and your temper. Get rid of slander and malice. If you want to catch your blessings this year, don't let anything stop you. Let them all go. What do you want to do with dirt? Either in your marriage or at the church or with anyone, release complete forgiveness. Let us read together the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. I say again, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Kindness and forgiveness are the antidote to destructive marital behaviors. So it is with us operating as a team. Transform your relationships into a reflection of God's own forgiving love. Let me tell you something. Forgiveness is essential. It is very, very essential for your own well-being. Forgive everyone and keep moving forward without looking back. It must have been, let me tell you this, it must have been a very terrible shock and a horrible experience Joseph went through when he was sold out as a slave by his own blood brothers. But he forgave them all. Listen to what he said to his fellow brothers after 22 years had passed. They still remembered. He had forgotten. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 to 21. Can you imagine if he had held that grudge all this while? You think he would have been the next in command in Egypt? Let's read together. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 to 21. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. I will give you another example of forgiveness. Another person is Stephen. I would love to talk about. While he was being stoned to death for his faith, Stephen followed Jesus' example by crying out, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Acts chapter 7, verse 59 to 60. Acts chapter 7, verse 59 to 60. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The Bible didn't say he died. He fell asleep. Stephen, who was a deacon in the early Jerusalem church, he was the first Christian put to death for his faith in Jesus. He died while praying for his executioners and entrusting his own spirit to Jesus. How about you? Can you pray for your executioners? Please, brethren, forgive everyone and release all bitterness. Let them all go. They are destructive to your growth. I sat back in discussion with my Father in heaven. I started thinking, why would God ask us to study marriage? See how marriage works if we want to succeed this year as a team. And the Father led me to this. He said, because it is designed as a foundational, high-stakes partnership that requires specific divine instructions to succeed. Because marriage is designed as a foundational, high-stake partnership that requires specific divine instructions to succeed. By studying marriage, it helps couples to stop acting as opponents and start acting as a team. That means when we act as a team at this fellowship, we are united in purpose. We can easily achieve our goals, because one can chase 1,000 to 10,000. You can imagine what multiple of us can do. Therefore, let us make every effort to keep the unity in the spirit of peace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. We must move to become a unified body, reflecting Christ's love to the world. Know this and let it sink deep into your hearts. Marriage is God's institution. He initiated marriage and gave us scriptures to act as the instruction book. God gave us scriptures to act as our instruction book in marriage, even as a teamwork. Therefore, from time to time, reflect on the Bible. Reflect on the scriptures, because it is designed to operate and guide you from time to time. Scriptures act as our instruction book. From time to time, reflect on the Bible to see how it is designed to operate. Without studying scriptures, people will tend to manage their relationships based on their own opinions, which often leads to failure. But at our fellowship, we tend to follow the guidelines of the scriptures to share our inspired messages. Studying the Bible together allows couples to listen to God together. So it is with us as a team at this fellowship. A godly marriage brings people together for a shared purpose. A strong marriage is built on both partners being individually connected to God and obeying the scriptures. Marriage is designed to mirror God's covenant with his people. Understanding this deepens the connection and gives the team a greater mission. My dear brethren, it is very necessary for us to come together as a team so we can get those formulas. When we receive them, we'll be able to actualize them easily, as God will give us divine instructions and will open up new things and bring new blessings, new greatness, new deliverance, new mission, new revelation that will open our path this season. Don't give up the good works of God. For a 100% chance for us to succeed this year as a team, we have to follow God's design teachings that offers us a secure foundation that protects us against outside pressures and false teachings. The number one thing that destroys marriage is breakdown in communication and disrespect. Don't let that happen to us this year. Break it down immediately. With the love of God, go to the scriptures. Come, let's share it together. Let's find out what God will do. And let's start acting upon it together. So to help us to succeed this year as a team, we need to be rooted in unity. Let's read Psalm 133 verse 1 to 3 together. Psalm 133 verse 1 to 3 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Teamwork often brings people closer to God. Don't distance yourself from this fellowship.
If you want to reap the full benefit and rewards to catch your full potential this year, get serious and be fully committed. Jesus is committed to us, never quitting groom to the church. Just as a groom pays to possess his bride, so did Jesus Christ sacrifice his blood, used as the bride price to pay to redeem the church. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Oh no. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spots." As Christians and believers, we have been saved from a meaningless existence that we inherited from our ancestors, a life that was driven by empty traditions and futile pursuits. Christ has paid a price with his own blood to redeem us. This is a proof of your priceless worth to God. It's a call for you to live a holy, sanctified life henceforth. But if you have never been born again, or you have never given your life to Christ, or you have not been bought out of spiritual slavery by Christ's perfect sacrifice that makes you a born-again child of the living God. So as you wish to be redeemed with this precious blood of Jesus Christ, so that you too begin to live a holy life, sanctified, a holy sanctified life, this is the time you can repeat after me the prayer of salvation. Heavenly Father, I know that I've sinned against you. I repent of all my sins. Please forgive me. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, and is alive. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life. Write my name in the Lamb Book of Life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's declare together again once more, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. Let's go. Romans 10, verse 9 to 10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So if you have just said the prayer of salvation after me with a genuine and sincere heart, you are saved. We welcome you to the family of Jesus. Kindly introduce yourself to us so we can all grow together in your new journey in Christ's family.
I believe you've been blessed with this message. Join an amazing moment in God's presence by fellowshipping in His presence. There we'll learn and grow in God's words and prayer. It's a partnership with God's people and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Follow the link below to join us every Sunday and bi-weekly Wednesdays on our audio platforms. You're welcome.